Who do I have here at the Owl's Nest? Why, I have Thomas Alcidi, Chief Information Officer for Information Technology Services here at Harford Community College. Tom, I think this is the first time you've been on. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and talk to me about your role here at HCC.
Okay. Well, I'm the Chief Information Officer here at the college, and my main role is to oversee operations of Information Technology Services, as well as our copy center. Also, part of my role is to provide a vision and leadership for new technology initiatives at the college.
I know it's a dumb question. What is information technology? I have to ask that. You're talking to a guy who may not be the most computer literate, so break it down for me. What does that entail? Information technology services.
Okay. And yeah, it's different for every college. So we are pretty much a centralized support organization for information technology. So we provide support for faculty, for staff and students. We handle everything in the classrooms, so the audiovisual equipment, the computers, any kind of computer labs out there that we have, as well as support for the offices. We support everything for the network, you know, so the internet, our wireless access, any kind of printing that we have for the students, as well as the employees. As a note for that, we did put a new copier in the student center for the students to use on the first floor. So that was something fairly new in January here.
That's handy.
Yep.
Always need to make copies.
Yes. It was something that was requested by the SGA. So hopefully, you know, we were able to, you know, provide that for them. And then, you know, we do provide support from our help desk. So for technology questions, any kind of issues they have, students may have about their account, getting logged in, things like that. And there's multiple avenues for them to get to us. So most of it's remote. So it's either by phone or email.
Okay.
And then recently we added a feature where they could also open the chat feature and or text us. So it's another avenue for connecting with us.
It's just another way that our students can grab some help when they need it.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what, you put a copy machine in front of me. Does yelling at computers have any impact on their cooperation with the end user yet or no?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No. When AI starts developing more, maybe.
And then, you know, they'll take over the world. And like in The Matrix, you know, we won't be necessary. I watch too much television and movies, quite evident. But talk to me real quick about some opportunities that might be available for our students in information technology services.
Okay. So currently we have 5 part-time positions. So 4 of the positions are computer technician positions.
Okay.
And one of them is the 5th position is a duplication technician, and that's in our copy center. So these are not dedicated, you know, student employment positions, but they are part-time positions. And most of the time, they are positions that are held by our students, and we have them posted on our website as part-time positions. And we've had a lot of people come in, you know, they started as students, and they wind up, you know, getting a full-time job with us because, you know, they had experience. And they saw an open position that we had. And then, you know, we probably have 5 plus more within our staff that started as part-time positions as students.
That's really invaluable real-world experience that those students are getting, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Everything they're learning hands-on, which is one of the best places to learn all those hard and soft job skills that they're going to be required, you know, once they graduate, when they get that piece of paper, that diploma. You know, they'll just be expected to have some of those initial skills, right?
Absolutely. And you mentioned the soft skills, too, which is important. It's not just the technology, but they're going out, you know, to the campus, to offices, talking to employees and helping supporting them.
Right.
So they are learning those other skills to interact and help support our staff.
And it all blends together, you know, part of being a well-rounded college student, you know. Seek out those internships. Seek out those real-world experiences because they're just going to pay you big dividends in the long run when you do graduate and you look for that first job, right?
Absolutely.
Now, something that you had said to me, which really was resoundingly important, because, you know, technology can be a barrier, you know, if you don't know how to use it. You were talking to me about Office 365 before the interview. Now, that sounds like a mighty good skill to have. Talk to me a little bit about why it's such a good idea to learn the suite of products.
Okay. So there's two main reasons. So as a current student, it's going to help you be productive and help you basically get your work done. So Office 365 is a suite of applications by Microsoft that our students have access to. And it includes the typical Office Word, you know, within Office, you have Word, Excel, and all those type of things.
Right.
But it also has, OneDrive for file storage. And it also has Office Online, which means you don't need to have those applications installed on your computer. You could actually, it's through a web browser, so it's a late version, but it allows anytime, anywhere access on any type of device. So it's just more functionality for students to be able to get their work done. And then, majority of the businesses use Office 365. So they're going to, once they already have that experience as a student, they're going to be able to see that same applications when they go into the workforce. More or less, it's going to be required at some point that, you should have some type of experience with those applications.
So again, more of those real world experiences that they're going to get. So
absolutely.
Now, another thing, because we were talking before the interview about a problem. It's cybersecurity related, and it's kind of scary if you think about it. Phishing. How can faculty, and for that matter, the general public, how can they defend against phishing?
Okay, so phishing, it used to be that hackers would just try to do brute force attacks against systems, and they still do that, but they found, one of the trends is that it's much easier to get somebody to give up their username and password than it is to try to hack systems now. So we see a lot of phishing campaigns that are very targeted and very well done. So they make it look like, for example, it may look like it's coming from the IT department here at the college and say, hey, we're updating our system. Please send us your new username and password. Here's a link. So right there, so that should be a red flag. No bank or really any institution is going to ask you for your username and password ever. That's just not a thing that would happen.
Right.
So, when you get these type of emails that look suspicious, really looking them over, checking who they're from. So if you don't know who the sender is or that the sender name doesn't match the domain or URL that it's coming from. And then really checking on the links and making sure the links that are there before you click a link, you hover it over and you see where it's going to take you. And a lot of times they won't match in the phishing email. So really, if being aware of these suspicious emails and doing your due diligence, just not clicking on something blindly. And if you're not sure, at the college, just forward it to our help desk. For employees, we have phishing@hartford.edu they could send it to. So, if you're not sure, ask. It doesn't hurt to ask first before clicking on something. Because once you click there, they might have a web page that looks real and it'll ask for your username and password. But then once you enter that information, you've already given your information.
They've got it.
And then at that point, if you realize it maybe after the fact, change your password right away. That will, really once you've entered it and they have it, if you change it right away, you'll be safe then.
Scary stuff, because identity theft, it's such a big thing now because everything is out there on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And cyber criminals can just, boom, grab a hold of things so easily now. So guarding against phishing, that's just one step, to keeping your personal identity and information safe. Now, Tom, talk to me about a few events that are coming up here in the Information Technology Services Department.
Okay, so our next event will be in October.
Okay.
And this event's going to be focused on cybersecurity awareness. And, the event will probably most likely be in the Student Center, and it's going to be for the whole campus.
Okay.
Some discussions, maybe some lectures. We'll try to make it fun as well. And it's just to focus on the awareness. People, like we talked about phishing, so how to protect themselves, how to protect themselves against identity theft. And this goes along with October is National Information Security Awareness Month. So
okay.
That's why we're focused on that month.
Well, it sounds like a great event to attend. Is there any cost or?
There'll be no cost.
No cost. Yeah. Well, that's a great service right there that the Information Technology Services Department is providing right there to students and to faculty. Talk to me about some resources that are available to our students and faculty here.
Okay. So the Hartford Community College website, so when you go there and it goes to the Information Technology Services website, we do have resources there for Office 365, some training videos and such. Another nice resource that a lot of people don't know about is if you're a Harford County resident, you could go through the Harford County Public Library system and get access to lynda.com, which is really good online training, and is no cost. So it's a really nice benefit that I don't think a lot of people know about.
I didn't know until you told me. I can have free access to lynda.com.
Yep.
And that there's almost everything on lynda.com. You can teach yourself.
So is anything from technology classes? I think they may even have like business classes and some project management type stuff. But we were focused more on it as another way to provide training for Office 365.
Well, it sounds like there's some wonderful resources available to people. And they're right there at your fingertips. So check them out. Thomas, I want to thank you for coming today onto the Owl's Nest. Thank you so much, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome back to What's Up at the Owl's Nest. I am your host, Nasia Creamer, and who do I have with me today in the Owl's Nest? I have two people, actually. I have two great women in the studio with me. So I have Elizabeth Mosser. She's the Associate Dean for Academic Operations here at the college. And I have Jenny Towner, the Interim Vice President for Student Affairs and Institutional Effectiveness. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hi. We are so happy to be here.
And we would like to say that there are three really wonderful women because you.
Oh, thanks.
Yep. Yes.
All right. So we are here to talk about this wonderful Women's Leadership Conference that will be on campus. Yes. And so I would like for either one of you to talk about the Leadership Conference. It is the second annual, right?
It is the second annual. Yeah, we had this wonderful idea last year to put together this event, and we had great support and a really great turnout, and so we wanted to keep that momentum going. And so we're going to get together on March 6th and really empower and really create this network of superstar women.
Yeah, and we're really excited because this year we were able to incorporate Caitlin White, who is our student leadership specialist at the college. So we are really able to pull in the student perspective with having Caitlin joining us in planning this wonderful event.
Great. And so you already said the date. It's March 6th. And it's from 12 to 4. Where exactly is it here on campus?
So we're actually going to be over in the Toon Building, Towson University Northeast. So it's just right across the street, entrance 7. So if you're coming down Thomas Run Road, you can find it, you know, not far from the campus. We're going to be in the auditorium from 12 to 4. So there'll be lunch provided and lots of really great, you know, activities and an interactive kind of dynamic where we can really be open and talk and have some great dialogue.
And it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for students and emerging professionals, and also have aspects of professional development for individuals who work with women and want to learn strategies for really empowering and supporting women through leadership tracks.
Mm-hmm. Great. We have a speaker. We have a keynote speaker, and her name is Sharon Jacobs. And can you explain to us who she is and why did you select her?
Sharon Brown Jacobs is such a wonderful woman leader in our community, and we are so lucky to have her as our keynote speaker. So one of the ways that we were able to select her, and she graciously agreed to serve as our keynote speaker, is because last year she was our Athena Award winner in Harford County. And as the Athena Award winner, she was recognized as an outstanding woman leader in our community. And that is for her excellence in her employment area, all the ways that she gives back to the community. We are also promoting women in non-traditional careers, and Sharon is a wonderful example of that. She works in STEM. She is a veteran. She is the chief executive officer of the Strategic Alliances Group and also has an entrepreneurial spirit. She founded the New Service Training Employment Program, which is a youth empowerment initiative. So she has so much experience and life lessons to share, and it's just going to be a wonderful keynote speaker.
Yep. And I wanted to just give a shout out to one of our deans on campus, Kelly Cormer, who we were able to partner with to really bring Sharon to campus. And so that's been a big part of this entire planning, has been partnering with other folks on campus, in the community. And so I think not only does the conference embody that sort of empowerment, but so is the planning and the relationships that we've built as part of this.
That sounds amazing. So not only will there be a keynote speaker, but there will be a panel and breakout sessions. So can you talk about the speakers and what they'll be enlightening us about at the conference?
Yeah, so we have a really wonderful panel of four women from the community who we have a variety of questions that they're going to answer around leadership and their development within their career fields, but then also really just sort of holistically how they have really sort of honed their skills, both, again, within their careers, but then just sort of life-wise. And so they're going to share with our community who's with us and sort of dialogue about, you know, how we can, as women leaders ourselves, follow in their footsteps. They're wonderful models for all of us. So I'll share a couple of the folks, and then Jenny can as well. So we have Donna Williams, who's going to join us, and this is actually her second year with us. People mm-hmm. really loved her, and so we wanted to bring her back, you know, cool. To share with even more people. Mm-hmm. So Donna, actually, and I want to get this acronym right. She is a computer scientist with the U.S. Army, the Department of Defense, and so here's this wonderful acronym, FTAB. It's Futures Command Firing Table and Ballistics Division. So she works at APG, and what she does there actually is she serves as the Software Configuration Manager, Process Assurance Representative, and Publications Officer. So she has a wide breadth of responsibilities, but within that, she really shares a lot of wonderful insights into being a woman in a STEM field, really, and what you know, those who aspire to be in that career field really can do to sort of launch their careers. So Donna is joining us again, which is wonderful. And then someone who I'm very close to, Robin Tomechko, who's the CEO of Harford Family House. So if you don't know what Harford Family House is, I'm on the board for that wonderful organization. And we provide transitional and emergency housing for the homeless families in Harford County. So that's super unique because families don't often get to stay together. So Robin's leadership has been integral in really growing Harford Family House. And so she's going to provide that nonprofit perspective for folks in the audience at the conference. And I think that's an important way to look sort of globally at women's leadership.
Right.
So we also have Tracy Eckel, who will be joining us on the panel. And Tracy is a wonderful example of how she has blended her education and passion for wellness, healthcare, and business together. She is the founder and chief clinician for Barefoot Attitude, and she really comes from a background of working in a variety of fitness managerial capacities, which has led her to opening her own business. And she is just so passionate about working with others and promoting healthy lifestyle. And to be able to be in control of her own business is really going to empower those in the audience who have that entrepreneurial vision. So we're very excited that Tracy will be joining us.
Pretty cool.
And on that note, Stacey Anden will also be joining us on the panel. She is a Master Certified Life and Business Coach. So for anybody in the audience who might have questions about how to achieve all the goals that you have set for yourself, she will have wonderful insight to share. And she also has a background in the corporate setting and also as an educator. So a lot of the examples that you'll see in Stacey and in our other panelists is that the road ahead and your career destination isn't always linear. And, you know, that's a really important message for us all to hear and learn from.
Right. So it sounds like this event is going to be exciting, and I hope everyone in Harford County who is listening can come out and join us. So what is the process for them to actually come to this conference?
So pretty easy, hopefully very straightforward. We have a website set up with a registration link. So it is Harford, harford.edu/WLC for Women's Leadership Conference. And so it's a pretty easy form. We just need some basic information because we want to plan for you. We want to have enough food. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it, really. Parking is free, you know, in the Toon lot, and spend 12 to 4 with us.
12 to 4, all you have to do is sign up. It's free. and lunch will be provided.
And it'll be good.
Mm-hmm. We'll have an opportunity at the end of the day to unpack the TED Talk of Dr. Brené Brown. And that really lends to the theme of daring greatly, because you're going to hear from our keynote speaker, our panelists, about how being a leader really does take bravery and putting yourself out there and being vulnerable. So we are really looking forward to the conversations that are going to develop in our conference, which will also lend itself to future mentoring among our participants that are in the conference, and really hopefully open some doors from a networking perspective moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought up the theme, because I was going to ask. So the theme is Daring Greatly, No One Belongs Here More Than You. I was going to ask, can you explain where that came from? But one more time, that came from Ms. Brené Brown?
Yep, Dr. Brené Brown.
Dr. Brené Brown.
Yep, she's a wonderful social psychologist who really speaks to the idea that to be successful in any part of your life, you have to be vulnerable. You have to kind of allow yourself to see growth and allow yourself to be okay with, we're all a work in progress. And so part of that is we want this to be a safe space where we can really, as Jenny said, unpack that and really live into what that means for each of us individually.
And no one belongs here more than you really speaks to the idea that there is not a one-size-fits-all model of who a leader is, mm-hmm. and that the unique qualities and talents that we individually possess, we can really turn those into the strengths that really help us chart the course ahead.
And we talked about this a lot last year, and I think it's a theme we want to bring forward, that there is no one way to be a woman leader either, because that's a pretty charged, you know, term. And so we wanted to make sure that people felt welcome, and actually all gender identities are welcome. This isn't just solely about women. And so it is a very inclusive environment that we want to create.
Are you to the dreamers of this event? Like, did it come from you?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. So for those of you out here who don't know Jenny and I, you know, we have a name for ourselves on campus. So it is Benny, because it's this mashup of Beth and Jenny. And
Benny, that's so,
yes,
cute. Benny.
And so part of this, and so I'll tell the story from my perspective, and then Jenny can share. But part of this was, we kind of, you know, thought a big part of success for women, but for anyone really, is the strength of the people around you. And so we found, as we were growing in our professional relationship, we were also growing in a sort of supportive, you know, friendship at the same time. And that meant something. It meant a lot to both of us as we were sort of progressing. And so how could we provide a venue for that to happen on a wider scale for people? That sort of was some of the genesis of this, I think.
Mm-hmm. And also looking at what's available for our students. And there is a wonderful conference, the Maryland Male Students of Color Conference, that is held at Montgomery College in Maryland. And it is an event that students from community colleges across the state attend. And it has such wonderful, empowering messages geared for Maryland male students of color. And I often thought, you know, where is the women's counterpart of this? And so we're really starting to plant the seed to have this type of program available for our women scholars across the state. And again, opening it up also to larger audiences, because it's just such important information.
Love it. And is there anything else that we missed that you want to talk about on the conference?
I think just maybe, like Jenny said, a couple thank yous. So we've been able to partner with Caitlin White to make this happen. Also, Erica Weinholt has been a big part of making this happen. So we want to make sure that all of the really wonderful women who are making this happen get their props.
Yes, and Friday, March 6th is an important day in Harford County, because that is the day of the Athena Leadership Banquet. So I mentioned that last year Sharon Jacobs won the Athena Leadership Award, and this year we have two nominees from Harford County. We have our very own Elizabeth Mosser.
Yay,
who is,
thank you,
nominated in the Emerging Professional category. And then we also have Dr. Karen Rege, who is nominated for the Athena Leadership category. So we are just so excited to have, you know, our Harford County's own being nominated for this wonderful award, and being able to pull Sharon Jacobs in. And so to have our Women's Leadership Conference following this wonderful event, Harford County is just not going to know what all that energy in the air is.
That's right.
Now, hold on. No, don't let her stop without asking her who won the Emerging Leader Award last year.
Oh, who won last year?
Ready? Ready? Oh. Ready? Go for it.
Can you see my cheeks getting red right now?
JT herself did, because there is no one more deserving.
So we are amongst greatness, women empowerment.
Yes.
So outside of planning this amazing, amazing conference, you all are actual employees of this wonderful college.
Yes.
I guess I'll start with you first, Jenny.
All right.
What is it that you do as the Interim Vice President for Student Affairs and Institutional Effectiveness?
It is a position that I am really honored to be able to serve in. I have been working at Hartford Community College for the last 14 years, and I've always worked in student affairs. And student affairs really is a compilation of services that are designed to help students have a seamless experience from their point of interest in the college all the way through the completion of their goals. And so in this role, I get to work with our enrollment management areas, student development, athletics, analytics and planning, events and conferencing. And I just love everybody that I work with, and it really is an honor to be able to serve the college in this capacity.
Great. And what about you, Elizabeth? Not only are you the Associate Dean for Academic Operations, but you're the Assistant Women's Tennis Coach.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's unpack this. First, Associate Dean for Academic Operations. Yes. What is it that you do there?
So my history before I got there was I was psychology faculty. So Brené Brown is near and dear to my heart, and the whole idea of, you know, holistic development, right? So that's kind of where I come from. But I moved into this role not too long ago, this Associate Dean role, and I really work closely with our Vice President for Academic Affairs, who he is. He's new. He's, I think, 3 weeks in now. So shout out to Dr. Tim Sherwood. Mm-hmm. Really working with him across all of our academic divisions to make sure, as Jenny said, that our student experience is the best that it can be. And so teaching and learning is the heart of what we do on this campus, and we really do strive to make that a meaningful experience for our students. And so I work closely with Dr. Sherwood to make sure that's happening. But, you know, I do have a big spot in my heart for tennis. I played tennis growing up, played in college, and so coaching is the way for me still to feed that part of my soul and be connected directly with students. And so I have such wonderful players on this team who hopefully will come, you know, visit you.
Because I am the producer of the Hartford Sports Hour as well.
Yes.
So we will definitely have you back with your players.
Yes. So and it's a wonderful privilege to be a part of this campus community. You know, I do so love the students and my colleagues and the energy that is here. And I think that's really important because, you know, we do what we do because we love it. And that's about the passion that Jenny was talking about before. And so when what you do and your passion come together, it's like nothing's better than that.
If you all don't feel empowered by this interview, it's amazing. I feel empowered. So let's all come to the leadership conference that is coming here to HCC March 6th. There's going to be more where this came from. And I thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was awesome.
I'd like to thank Thomas Alcidi, Chief Information Officer for Information Technology Services here at Hartford Community College, and Elizabeth Mosser, Associate Dean for Academic Operations, and Jeannie Towner, Interim Vice President for Student Affairs and Institutional Effectiveness. And I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in once again to The Owl's Nest. Until next time, stay curious.